welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know over the next 100 days, from innovation to business design, tech and culture. I'm Fazaniso, all the way down here in Cape Town, and today we're joined by three brand new additions to the Label Sessions expert roster, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Hello and welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hey.
So hello and welcome to Mike Harding, the strategist who fixes what others won't touch. Mike thrives where the brief is broken, the challenge is unclear, and the stakes are high. He reframes, rebuilds, and brings first principles thinking to problems most people run from. Welcome, Mike.
Hello.
And hello and welcome to Alex Cavani, the product whisperer for chaotic growth. Alex cuts through early stage noise with structured insights, sharp product instincts, and the empathy to guide teams under pressure from first ordered all the way through to next breakthrough. Welcome, Alex.
Thanks. Thanks for the great intro.
And then also a big welcome to Sakina Ramzanali, the go-to-market strategist who turns chaos into clarity. Sakina transforms scaling headaches into structured growth, blending 20 years of marketing, sales, and coaching expertise to take startups all the way to unicorns. Welcome, Sakina.
Thank you.
Can brands still surprise us? So Haagen-Dazs had a very successful Super Bowl ad, which has now spawned a full slow brand platform where they're just celebrating the moment of calm that an ice cream can bring to the world, in a world that often feels overwhelming and gets increasingly overwhelming every week. And this surprising tactic has really sort of cut through the noise a little bit and has brought Haagen-Dazs sort of a sustainable impact after a Super Bowl ad, which is usually just sort of a flash in the pan and everybody forgets it, but they've really sort of doubled down and really been able to surprise us. So if it makes good business sense for a brand to surprise you, why do more brands just not do it? Why do more brands not make the decision to sort of do the hard thing or the original thing? And I think we see it with AI now. Everything sort of is becoming the sameness. What does it take for a brand to sort of step out of that? And is it good business sense?
I'm obviously creating my personal brand here. one way to think about a brand is it's simply the sum total of all the inputs which have been remembered in your brain over all time, with a decay function that says if it's 20 years ago, I probably can't remember it. Or for my me, 20 minutes ago, I can't remember it. And right now, I remember all of it. So if I add all those things up, I have this decay curve and I can add it all together and say, this is what I know about Haagen-Dazs. And I live in the UK. I know what Haagen-Dazs is, but it's a brand. It's ice cream, right? It's ice cream. It's hard to get. And I've had it before and it wasn't great. That's enough. It's enough to say, okay, I have a thought about Haagen-Dazs brand. It's, I don't need to buy it. Whereas Apple, obviously it's Apple. they're going to rip me off, but I don't mind because of the kudos. But you see, every single thing that you know about the universe is the sum total of all the things you ever heard about it. And what you can do with the brand, you can't change all that. You can drop something else in it and hope that you can redirect it, or you can add something more here. But it's a very slow process. Brands take a long time to grow, but a bad thing, a really bad performance with the wrong sort of ideas, let's say Super Bowl performance, can crater your brand completely. And then if that generates lots of noise around the brand, all that's going to infect the brand anyway. They don't tend to infect positively quite so well. People don't rush around saying, hey, but they do. So you've got this continually moving thing called the brand, which you think you own, but you don't, because all of your branding lives in your customers and potential customers and non-customers' minds. And if you want to change that, you have to influence by doing something or hoping that someone else will do it for you. That's my theory of branding.
Yeah, so I'm a B2B marketer, but I think the reason we don't see many surprising brand moments anymore is because of the risk factor. It is risky, right? There are so many layers of approvals, quarterly KPIs to hit, and the real fear among marketers and brand people is getting it wrong. So brands often play it safe. You get campaigns that look polished, nice, and professional, but they don't really make people feel anything or remember them a week later. So for me, the best surprises don't come from gimmicks or big stunts just for attention's sake. they start with the real human insight, something that people genuinely care about, but maybe aren't expecting a brand to speak to, let's just say. That's when surprise feels authentic. It connects rather than just creating noise. Over the past few years, I mean, I can give you an example of a company that I worked at, and we ran a customer event where we had this really pretty bold idea. So we were working with insurers, and our solution was mainly AI for accident and disaster recovery. So our AI could actually give you an estimate for the damage done to a car in 3 minutes instead of 3 months. So we had this idea, like, you know, we would bring in a car, let customers hammer it, and use our AI to estimate the damage in under 3 minutes. And I'll be honest, like, you know, I was very nervous about it. Like, you know, things could have gone wrong, right? It didn't work, it won't work. Was it going to take more than 3 minutes? It might just crash or whatever it is. But so I decided that let's launch it at a live event. And since it was a live event, we had room to fix things if needed. And because it was such a hands-on experience, it landed well. People talked about it for months afterwards. So what was interesting was that we used that success that the event gave us and the confidence we built as a digital, like, you know, campaign around it later. But I wouldn't have started it with digital just because I would have been so nervous, like it could go viral. And when things go wrong, they go viral so quickly rather than when things go right. So learning at a physical event where you can test, adapt, and, you know, get genuine reactions and then using it, I would be comfortable doing that, not the other way around. So a lot of like times, like, you know, the risk that it comes with is the biggest reason why so many people like don't just go out there and try something really, really bold. And as a marketer, I speak to a lot of marketers, and that's one of the biggest things, like, you know, what if it doesn't go well? So I'd rather play safe and save my brand than to go off and do something. I mean, we know a lot of consumer brands who've gone out there and done something bold and they've like backfired a lot of times. I can give you so many examples, but I don't want to name any brands. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, there are so many examples of that. And that's what made us a little bit, not a little bit, but a lot risk averse. So that we don't, you know, in order to do something great, we don't damage what we had. And these brands, they have a lot of equity in them, right? And one wrong thing can ruin everything. Like 20 years of work, you can just like literally eradicate in two minutes by doing something wrong. So I think that's where the mindset comes from.
We've definitely seen some of those over the last year, brands sort of losing all of the good faith that they've built.
I like what Mike was saying about your brand is the sum total of everything everyone's ever heard about it. I think a lot of companies think that they can market their way to a brand identity or advertise their way to a brand identity. But your marketing and advertising is just making you aware of a product, especially how a product solves your problem. Your actual brand identity comes from people's interactions with your company. Like, how's the product work? What's your customer service like? I can think of a million companies that my idea of their brand identity sucks because I've had to call their customer service and it's just been a bad experience. And that's such a small portion of their capital expenditure, but it has such an outsized impact on what their brand is. And also, like what Sakina is saying about risk aversion, I think that is a big reason for it. And also, marketers are pressured to have this pretty extensive content pipeline. Like, they're expected to be churning out things all the time. So really, how many innovative things can you do in a year when you're expected to just keep pumping things out? So I think there's a little bit of a default to seeing things, looking at things of, oh, what's someone else doing that seems innovative? They didn't get a backlash for it. Let's do something similar. But I think consumers get a lot of, on like the old web days, they call it banner blindness, right? Like the studies where people see the banner ads on websites, but are completely blind to them because they're just so used to seeing it and ignoring it that they've gotten really good at ignoring it. So if I said something like, oh yeah, I just saw this ad on TV, it was for a running shoe and it had very inspiring music and a very attractive person running through a park talking about how it was improving their life, which brand am I talking about? Literally all of them. They all do that same thing. It's the same ad all the time. And I see it in San Francisco too, that you have these AI billboards everywhere. And the hot thing is to just have something really obscure that doesn't say what your product is, to make you want to go to the URL, but there's like 50 of them and it completely loses its charm. So if you're like the first person to copy that interesting hit thing someone did, great. But if you're showing up 10th in line, people are already blind to that strategy and it's already gone into the bin of, oh, this isn't unique or innovative or interesting.